comedian and impressionist Rory Bremner will be opening the centre later today. He's also the patron of the ADHD Foundation. Rory, thanks for coming on the show this morning.
Hey.
Interested to hear your story here, actually, because this is something that affected you as you grew up. Tell us the tale.
Yeah, well, it's because I recognise it in a member of my own family, and as a result of which I sort of look back on my life, my own childhood, and in fact a lot of my adulthood, and I recognise many of the symptoms, some of which Polly was talking about, the lack of organisation, poor attention span, lack of concentration, impulsivity, impetuosity, a lot of those things, and I kind of recognise, those all sort of rang bells, and so I looked more and more into it. And yeah, although primarily, as you say, people associated with children, it affects the 1 in 20. So if you think that already is 500,000 children across the country and 500,000 families who live with the consequences of ADHD in their family, which is rather like having a depth charge that will go off at least once a day, if not several times a day. But it does affect adults, and I've come into contact with a number. I mean, one who works in a call centre and has written a screenplay about it called Misunderstood, funnily enough, because, you know, it is still misunderstood. I kind of think of it as sometimes as the Cinderella of disorders, with its ugly sisters, dyspraxia and dyslexia, because it often goes hand in hand with those. But also there was another who was a radio producer, funnily enough, up in Manchester, and as a result of a documentary we did, he went to the GP, got a diagnosis, took medication, and his wife said, "I've got my husband back," and his life has turned around. And in adults who have ADHD, who have a diagnosis, I asked an adult clinician about this, and I said, "What's the effect of the medication on them?" And he said, "It's like putting on a pair of glasses. It can be that instant."
Wow, that's astonishing. How old were you then when the penny dropped?
Probably late 40s, but you know, it makes me almost want to go back and apologise to all the people in my childhood who I kind of, you know, I taught constantly. I mean, my first answer was about 7.5 minutes there, wasn't it? But you know, talking over seminars, being, my mum called me scatterbrained, and I was kind of perpetually in motion. But then, you know, a lot of them sort of, when I have sort of started to apologise, said, "No, you're okay." I mean, hyperactivity, you know, it's good and bad. I think of ADHD as my best friend and my worst enemy. And sort of worst enemy in the sense of disorganisation and forgetfulness and all the rest of it, and best friend in the sense of it does allow you to make those sort of jumps and leaps which are very useful for a comedian.
Well, absolutely, when you're being creative like that, you grab thoughts from all corners of your mind, and they just rush in together, and it's just a case of verbalising those, I guess, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, Lee Mack, I think we talked about this before, and he sort of says that he's the same. I talked to my agent about doing a documentary, and I said, "How many in our agency comedians, which include all sorts of people like sort of Eddie Izzard and lots of other comedians?" And I said, "How many of us do you think have ADHD?" And she said, "I think probably all of you." But I mean, there are the various poster people for ADHD, like Will I Am, Michael Phelps, Emma Watson, Justin Timberlake, who supposedly has ADHD and OCD at the same time. As I say, it does go hand in hand with other things: dyslexia, dyspraxia, Asperger's. It's known as a spectrum disorder. But the point is, it kind of falls rather well in this mental health week that we're having, or fortnight. It's just coincidental that we're opening it tonight. But there is a greater attention on this, and I think part of the thing is to remove this stigma. And if there's a message, it's that families who live with children who have this, or who have a husband or wife who has this, that you're not alone. And doctors are now becoming more confident in the diagnosis, and we're getting more attention, ironically, for attention deficit. There you go. There's my attention deficit latching on one word and forgetting what else I was saying. There is more attention on this, and what Polly has done with this new ADHD clinic in Headington is it's arisen from her own experience, I think, in getting help for her own son, because it is complicated. And the CAMS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, you know, they're not perfect. There are a lot of difficulties that people have had with that system, and it sort of cuts off, I think, at age 17 or 18, and then kind of they're on their own. So the more specialist services we can have. They didn't have a special. I don't think there is a specialist clinical ADHD specialist.
That's right. A psychiatrist. Yeah, there's no specialist psychiatrist for adults. Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, it's an astonishing kind of omission, and that's something that Polly is helping to address and put right. So that's a brilliant thing. So if we can kind of lift the veil, I come back to that figure of 500,000 children, 500,000 families, and they are often the most creative and the most, obviously, are most energetic, but they have immense creativity. And if it's not diagnosed, this is what happens. You know, you get children who can't concentrate, who are easily distracted, who can be seen as disruptive, who get excluded from the classroom, and then you get that thing from classroom to courtroom. You know, they fall by the wayside, and either they end up self-medicating into alcohol or drugs, or they can get into trouble. And sort of meta-analysis that Susie Young, who's the president of UCAD, which is one of the ADHD charities, she's carried out research that suggests that 25% of young offenders are recognized with ADHD and 30% of prisoners. Imagine if they had been diagnosed and helped and supported, not just with medication, but with a multimodal approach, including coping strategies, including therapy, very, very helpful. Cognitive behavioral therapy is really, really helpful. But medication as well. I mean, there's such potential. And this clinic, linking up with others in Liverpool, like the ADHD Foundation, the Maudsley Clinic in London, we're beginning to see ADHD centres setting up around the country. And it's brilliant because it'll be transformative.
Great to talk to you, Rory. Thank you for your time this morning, and enjoy Oxford tonight. I'm sure it'll be a very special night, opening the clinic that Dr. Polly Branney was telling us about.